Just to introduce myself briefly, I realised this morning that I have actually been working with people in one way or another for the past 20 years, but this is the first time that I've ever been asked to do something like this. So, if I've got a few jitters, you'll notice that. But the other thing is that for the last 14 years, I've been in private practice as a counsellor and a coach, and focusing mainly on relationship and family issues, although encompassing whatever came my way. And in the course of that time, there are probably two key things that have shown up for me in working with people where I see that they're limited and that they tend to have great difficulty in being able to move forward or have some real healing in the issues that they come to see me for. The first of those is a lack of a belief in anything or anyone outside themselves. So they don't believe in God or spirituality or the universe or anything. It's just, it's me, and that's all there is. And I watch those people struggle, because I know certainly for myself, and I'm sure for each and every one of you who are here today, that it's those times at which we're on our knees. If we hadn't already made a connection with the divine, that's usually when we do it. Of course, how we do that is from within ourselves. So that's the first thing I find that, and I haven't really come across very many people who don't have something that they believe in, which is comforting. And the other second thing, and that's what I'm really here to talk about today in unison with the first, I guess, is people's refusal to see, firstly themselves, but usually another, differently. So I know you didn't actually get any notes about today, and when I was, writing about so many different things, I thought, okay, I'll just make it really simple. I'll talk about the three things that I've said in my little spiel. But, the first of them is that it really is within our power to choose what occurs in our relationships with people. I guess it comes back to personal responsibility. Where we get so stuck in our relationships, and when I talk about relationship, as Barry and Margot have said, I am not just talking about our partners. First and foremost, I'm actually talking about the relationship that we have with ourselves. As you've probably heard many times, the relationship that you have with yourself, or the relationship that you have with the people outside of you, or, the animals or the plants, the world, is really a mirror of what you have with yourself. So when we say that there's only one of us here, yeah, or that we're all connected, you know those days when it looks like everybody's being really horrible to you, is probably a time to come back and go, well, what's going on inside of me? So really the only relationship we have to truly work on is the one that we have with ourselves. And for most of us also, that means the relationship that we have with God or spirit or the universe or source energy within us. I haven't looked at my notes yet. So what I'll find, and I work with a lot of couples, is that we'll be making some progress. And, I do believe that we talk about forgiveness or acceptance. I've never said to people that you should forgive over the top of your anger or despair or confusion or sadness or whatever it is. But ultimately, if you can take ownership of that and work through that, you will come to a place where you see that, in fact, what you thought was wrongdoing toward you is not that, and that you get to see the innocence both in yourself and in the other. I see a lot of people have great trouble with that. What we tend to do, something happens, we're not happy with what happens, whether it's how we treat another person or another person treats us, And then we put all of our energy into trying to change the other person. You know, trying to get them to like us again, to understand us, to justify our point of view. You know, why won't they? How come they don't see? Why won't they hear me? Why don't they understand how I feel? So, you know, every time we do that, we just entrap ourselves in the false illusion or the fears of the other person. The real power that we have is to step back and to recognize that it's not our job ever to try and change another person, or even to have to justify what we've done, because we get caught up in that too. So it's really, if you have the opportunity to be able to step back and go, hold on a second. Maybe if I have a look over there, I'll see that that person is in pain in some way. And I'm just plugging into that. Yeah? Or maybe if they're responding to me in that way, perhaps it's something that I've done. But ultimately, the key is to have the willingness to actually look again and look for something different. And of course, what we're looking for is the truth of who we all are, which is love. And all those, you know, horrible experiences we have in life are about helping us to learn that we are so much more than the confines of the ego. Yeah? Than the illusion of fear and the entrapment of false pride. So what this means is that if we're willing to give it a go, we could actually look at people and ask, you know, what would make a difference here? What would love do now here? And if I could separate myself from their pain, then I would be free to love myself again, because that's what's missing when we're in that place of conflict with another person. And I have to say, this is so much easier to say here than it is in my room when I've got two people who are in at loggerheads with each other, because they're constantly trying to prove all the time who's right, even though they know that. And we know that trying to prove ourselves as right is the construct of the mind and of the ego. And when we remember that we are spiritual beings here to have a human experience, we can embrace that too. The experience of oneness is that we don't exclude anything or anyone, that we see it all has value. And, you know, I do personally, and I didn't, you know, I guess I didn't always, but I do believe in a loving God. And my idea of God is that God's love is unconditional. And, you know, when I was thinking about that, the truth is that if love isn't conditional, if there are conditions attached, it isn't actually love. It is something else. And for me, probably the place where I get to experience unconditional love the best is with my dog, Buster. If any of you have, you know, pets, you usually have that for them and experience that back from them. Yeah, we don't put those human expectations onto our animals, do we? And we don't often do that with little children either. The thing that has us love kids so much is that we see the embodiment of love in them. Yeah? And I often say to people, you know, the people who say, look, I just want to meet someone who hasn't got any baggage. You know, I want my next partner to not have any baggage. And I go, good luck. If you really want to go out with a three-month-old, go for it. Yeah? We know this is what we've come here for. If we remember that we are spiritual beings, and, you know, some years ago when that, I went, oh, my God, that actually means that nothing can really touch me, nothing can hurt me. Spirit is indestructible. You know, and all of the other stuff that's going on, it's just for my growth. That's why I say our relationships are there for our growth and healing. And, you know, just like Noah's Ark was made of two of each animal, you know, God is going to heal the planet, or the plan is to heal the planet two by two. So every time you find yourself having difficulty with someone in your life, and it doesn't just have to be your love partner, it can be a parent, it can be a child, a co-worker, a best friend, the person you just bumped into in the street. Celebrate that, because there's something in it for you to learn and grow and heal from, and to know yourself as much, much more than that little mind that's always looking to be right, always looking for approval. And it's such a trap. See, if we were to imagine that we could see ourselves and others through the eyes of God, and I'm not talking about, you know, the God of religions that talk about sin and blah, 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 blah. No, I am talking about the God of unconditional love. Then all of those things that we think are so terrible about us, are so imperfect about us, are so wrong, you know, and I've got squillions of those, you know, and I tend to be a perfectionist, and I have been very hard on myself, and it's taken me a long time, but I'm learning to start to be gentler with myself. And I personally believe that everything that is occurring at this point in time is about all of us learning how to do that with ourselves and with each other. When you look at the children, when you look at our young people, particularly the ones who are behaving so badly, they are trying to show us that what we've been doing has not been working. That we need to let love guide our actions. And sometimes that will include tough love, by the way. Now, there's nothing I enjoy more than working with a parent who's been behaving like a child and having them actually stand up and take responsibility for their role and start to have the experience of being successful as a teacher for their children. We need to create safety for our young people, and that safety comes with love, respect, boundaries, certainty, teaching them some of the values that seem to have just completely gone by the wayside. And we don't have to look too far out into the world to see that, do we? It's everywhere. Now, the ego would have us say, you know, those terrible young people. No. They're teaching us. They're teaching us, and they have been, and some of them have been teaching us through the most finite and painful of ways for a long time now, that we need to pay attention. And we need to bring back into life. I mean, something like this is just amazing to me. I love it because it's not church. When I was a kid and I went to church, I'd stand in the back and I would just see the hypocrisy in the people who were there. I mean, I was a little kid, I probably didn't have the word, but I could see that who they were being in that room didn't necessarily mirror who they were being out in the world. Now, one of the ways that we actually stop ourselves from, I guess, living from that place of personal power is by looking at people like, you know, Gandhi and the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa and all of those wonderful people. And we don't see that we have that same seed of greatness within us. That's kind of like exclusive. You know, there's this little club of people. And they're made of something different to us. And it's their job. They're the ones that are going to save the planet. Well, no, they're not. each and every one of us is made up of the same thing. I remember when, you know, quantum physics was first being spoken about, and they said that, you know, we each have a grain of, you know, Jesus Christ in us, or anything and everything that's ever been. And it's a phenomenal thought. And I know that there are many times that we don't feel like we're so great, or like we can really make a difference. But the truth is that that's actually what we're all here for. And our relationships with other people are there to show us the distance between where we are right now and where we want to be. Each of us, I believe, wants to feel that in this lifetime we have given our very best. And, you know, we say we kind of want to experience nirvana. Yeah? But so often our relationship lives are like hell on earth, aren't they? So we have to do a lot of giving up of being right. We also have to do a lot of having compassion for ourselves. See, we are actually always doing the best we know to do. I hear myself speaking to my husband, who thank God is not here this morning, because I couldn't possibly be doing this. You know, sometimes I'm disgusting the way I speak to him. Thankfully these days it happens much more quickly that I can see and hear it and really go, hold on a second, that's not really how I want to behave around this man whom I love and have spent, you know, probably half of my life with now. That's the new thought that occurs. That's the shift in vision that occurs. When you can look back at the person who you are in conflict with, or who you feel you are in need of defending yourself against, or, you know, persecuting them, is to see that they are not the source of your pain. Whatever we actually put that outside of ourselves, we have absolutely no facility whatsoever to do anything about it. And, you know, people say you marry your mother or your father, and sometimes a woman marries a man who's like her mother, and sometimes a man marries a woman who's like his father. It doesn't really matter. And people have thought, oh my God, I failed. How come I couldn't find someone who wasn't like my mum or dad? Well, you married that person in order to heal whatever it was that came up for you. And you were born to those parents so that you could become the best you that you can in this particular lifetime. And I don't know, but I think perhaps the people who are working with people, certainly over the last, 5 to 10 years, and certainly my experience has been that we've been, you know, my parents, I believe, have been giving me some of the hardest lessons imaginable. But I absolutely bless them and am so grateful to them for that, because I'm learning so much from that, and that allows me to be able to share that with people. And also to look at them and just see how incredible they actually are. So, you know, when we surrender to love, it's actually a miracle, isn't it? And it actually might take a lifetime to get there. And it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. But in that moment that you can shift your perception from fear to love, yeah? In that moment, you're free. In that moment, you don't have to agree with your own smallness. You don't have to get anybody else to love you or to agree with you. In fact, you can actually get to see what's going on for them. And that ability to have empathy and compassion for ourselves and others is really important. And I think, you know, what I think we can all see that our greatest teachers throughout time have been the most incredibly gentle human beings, haven't they? You know, Gandhi, the difference that he made, and he just, you know, lying down. Jesus didn't care if people, you know, he had no attachment to whether people wanted what he had to give or not. And this is another thing in our lives and in our relationship lives. It's about giving because you want to give without an expectation of return. And usually then what we get back is so much greater. Does anyone want to tell me how long I've been talking for? I think one of the most important points I do want to get across today is that, you know, when we're having difficulty with another person, or with ourselves, but let's keep it with the other person at this point in time, oftentimes what's happening is that person is, you know, one or both of us has been triggered. Something within us that's hurting is coming to the fore. And in a way, it's their way of saying, you know, please see that I'm in pain. Please respond to this. Please give me love here. What we do, though, each time we take it personally, is we push away and we prevent ourselves from seeing the message that that other person is giving us. And so that's how we stay stuck in that place. The other thing with that, of course, is that whenever we're judging, you know, whenever we're doing that, it's coming back to us as well. So it does require being able to step outside of ourselves and see what we are doing, to recognize that whenever we're struggling, something is amiss. Yeah? When we're actually in the flow of love, then everything is going to be easy. Okay. I think I'm going to let it sit with that because just a couple of the quotes, and I believe they're both from A Course in Miracles that I really love. One of them is, "In my defenselessness, my salvation lies." Yeah. Which, of course, that doesn't belong in the Western world, does it? We always have to prove ourselves right here. You can't just step back and go, okay, I see your point. So it's a beautiful point. And the other one is that the mind cannot serve two masters. And so that's a really easy one to remember, that if what we really want is to experience love, then fear, hate doesn't come up that often with us, but sometimes it's there. But anything that is not of love, yeah, cannot coexist with love. And you know, it's really easy, isn't it? You know whether you're in a place of love, and I always put trust and faith with that, or fear, pride and ego. One feels pretty good, and the other one feels pretty terrible. One is the construct of the mind, the other is the place of the heart, belonging to God. So with that, I would like to actually take you through a meditation. If you'd just like to make yourselves comfortable. So now gently close your eyes and take a deep breath in. And on the out-breath, just allow yourself to settle. And become aware now of the breath in your body, radiating out from your heart center, calming, soothing, and relaxing you now. Opening you up to receiving love. Now call to mind your idea of love and light, unconditional, without limits. Whether you know it as God, Source Energy, the Universe, or a benevolent force that without having to understand fully, you know exists. And like a beam of light shining down from the heavens, simply allow yourself to be bathed in the warmth of its embrace. As you let in love, you step outside of yourself for a moment to take the position of the observer. You begin to see yourself as the Creator sees you. And as you do, you feel that all that is not love simply drop away. Whatever it is that you have held as not okay about you, melting into the illusion of fear from whence it came. Know that no matter what your story, God sees only the love that you are, and the call to love that your pain and anguish, misgivings, and missed takes have been. Feel the renewal that comes from releasing yourself from your past and from the judgments of yourself and others, to experience once more your innocence and the purity of your being. Now see yourself standing tall, filled with the love that you are. And as you look out into the world with eyes of love, love is all that you see.